A group of former students from five of Detroit's worst-performing public schools is suing the Michigan Department of Education and Governor Gretchen Whitmer for a lack of textbooks, classrooms without teachers, overall horrendous conditions. We reached out to the department and the governor for comment. They declined. But the governor has said that the state addressed Detroit public schools when it returned the main school district to a locally elected school board in 2017. And Governor Whitmer also points out that Michigan spent millions in 2016 to create a new school district called the Detroit Public Schools Community District, which is free from debt. A similar class action lawsuit was filed in Rhode Island in 2018 after students there accused that state of failing to equip them with the skills to function productively as civic participants. And in other states, after court rulings, state legislatures have been forced to find more equitable ways to distribute education dollars. But the Detroit case was already thrown out by a district court judge who said, while alarming, education isn't in the Constitution. The case is now on appeal in a circuit court. Jamaria Hall is one of the plaintiffs. Now, he graduated in 2017 from Osborne High School. Now 20, he's trying to get through community college in Tallahassee, Florida. We'll hear about that. Jamaria, welcome and make your case.
Yes, and thank you so much, Mr. Young. Thank you so much for hearing out, for having me. But it's just, like, education is the basics to life. Like, how can you be a productive citizen to society without literacy or without being proficient in math or reading above a third grade level?
Well, and you talk about your schooling in Detroit's Osborne High School being a big waste of time. How bad was it? What were some of the things you're pointing out?
I mean, it was really almost like a prison. It was like going to jail every day or going to daycare. Like, we're sitting in classrooms for hours upon hours watching movies, going from different class to different class, or maybe going to school and not knowing if you're going to have a teacher, going to school knowing that you might have to wear your coat in the classroom because it's below zero outside and there's no heat in the building, or knowing that it might be 90 degrees outside, so it might be 110 inside the building, so you might be sweating bricks, and then not having efficient water to drink, or not having an efficient bathroom to use, or not even a shower or a locker room.
So the conditions are one thing, but you also mentioned watching movies. Do I understand that there are long-term substitutes, you know, almost permanent substitutes who just showed films? And in other classes, you had materials for upper classes, but they were labeled for third graders.
Yes, ma'am. Like, Detroit was the only city in Michigan where a teacher can teach a class without having a degree in teaching or having a degree in that subject. And it's kind of sad because the teacher is teaching a class that they know nothing about or that they are not mastered in. A lot of times I might help a teacher, or like we said, there might not be a teacher at all. And we might be sitting in a class watching Frozen or something like that.
The movie.
Yes. Like, I was born in 1999 and the books in the classrooms were from 1998. Like, the books are older than me. The last president in the books are Clinton.
I mean, but, you know, you mentioned teachers who are teaching without having the background. So some of these teachers are as angry as you are. There's one quoted Renee Shankman, who is at Experiencia Preparatory Academy, which has closed, but she said she didn't even have a curriculum. She had to use Google to learn how to teach some of the topics that she was assigned. I mean, some of these teachers are as angry as you. Here's another point that's made in this Detroit case, filed in 2016, by the way, on behalf of you and other students, that there were such appalling conditions that there was an eighth grader who taught math to his classmates for a month after his teacher quit.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you see that impacting you?
It impacts everyone. You can see it on the incarceration rate. You can see it on the death rate. You can see it on the dropouts rate. You can see it on the gross income of the city. You can see it. It impacts everyone, not just the students, because these students grow up to be adults. These students grow up to have children. And it's a cycle that's been long gone. And my father is also a teacher. He also taught at Osborne. So I really understand how it is both sides. And that's why it was not towards Detroit or Detroit. The lawsuit was not really towards them because they don't have the resources to teach us. A lot of times teachers come to school 2 to 3 hours early to make 500 copies for all the students in the classroom out of the one textbook they might have. And then this is paper that they have to buy out of their own money. And it's like, I know the teachers care. I know the students want to learn. The people in the community want better.
Well, so you've really outlined terrible conditions. And as you say, it's not the city as much as the state and the attitude towards the schools. But how do you go about making a legal case? Because, as you know, other school systems have tried, and other judges have said, you know, nowhere in the Constitution does it say you have a right to an education. So how are you making the legal case?
I mean, nowhere in the Constitution it doesn't say that it's not or that it can be deprived. So it's a gap in the room, and it's 2019, and we're sitting here talking about education.
Yeah.
Like, how can we live in America or live the American dream or want to be a owner or something or want to have a career when I'm not proficient past a third and fourth grade level, and it's putting me or making me a statistic and just saying that I'm not going to be anything or that I won't achieve anything, basically putting us in a category, putting us in a box. So many people should at least pay attention to it, because it's not only affecting Detroit, it's affecting everyone. I'm not saying that all schools need to be perfect, but I'm saying that everyone at least needs to have a chance. I'm at least saying, can I, my textbooks be from 2019 if it's 2019?
Yeah.
Can I not have leftovers? Can I not have war downs? Like, if we're at the bottom, we want to try to get out. Education is the way out. We shouldn't have to want to be basketball players or artists or things of that nature to be the only way to get out the city. And it's in the Constitution that everyone should have a right to the American dream. And if you don't have education, how can we get that?
Well, that's the point that some people are making, that it doesn't necessarily say in the Constitution you have a right to an education, but you do have a right to, as you say, the American dream, the right to vote, participate mm-hmm. in a democracy. And, you know, there is an argument there that you can't do that if you're not literate.
If you're not proficient.
Yeah.
Like, how can you do it if you can't read this poll, if you can't? If you don't know where the voting polls are, or if you don't even really, you haven't got past third or fourth grade knowledge to really even know what's going on.
Well, and Jamaria, I mean, what was that like when you went from this high school where you had a great, you know, what, B plus or something, and you got to community college?
It was really a slap in the face, kind of like a reality check, because I graduated second in my class and I had the highest SAT score, and I had aspirations of going off to a university and things of that nature, and to go off to community college and to be struggling with my classes or to not feel confident enough to take even the proficient or the regular freshman classes I wanted to take, really remedial or classes that would help me build up to at least get to a level, just knowing how much I missed out during my 4 years at Osborne. So I knew I had a lot of catching up to do, but it was still really a reality check when it was way much more than I thought.
Yeah. Others make the point that education is compulsory. And how can you compel someone to do something when it's not good for them, you know? And that the Supreme Court has ruled that you can't compel someone to do something and then not deliver on it. And for kids, that means sitting in school and not deliver an education. You can't, you know, as others have pointed out, you can't put someone in a mental institution and not provide treatment. Well, you know, that might be an argument that can be used. It's something you're also forced to do. Well, what are you doing now? I mean, struggling in community college because of realizing the education you didn't get. So what are you doing?
I'm still trying to catch up. It's 3 years later. I graduated 3 years ago. I still have freshman credits. I'm still catching up every day. I still have a private tutor that I work with. I still stay in the library because I know I have a lot of catching up to do. And I've failed classes. I've had to retake classes. And I'm just like every other student, every other college student, just trying to aspire, trying to move on. But I know I have so much more work to do than everyone else. So I'm just trying to really work hard.
So, Jamaria Hall, we wish you all of the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you all for even having me. Thank you so much for even having the chance to listen.